Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. In other words, it's not useless, it's not empty, it's not meaningless in the Lord. The world might tell you as a Christian that you're wasting your time. They certainly told me this. They told a lot of people this. A lot of Bible college students have this experience. People say to them, why are you going to Bible college? What can you do with it when you get out? Like, how are you going to make money with that? I'm not going to make money, but I will get some eternal rewards for sure. Because they think that living with God, serving God, being faithful to God is empty. The fact of the matter is they don't know truth. They don't know value. They see things in terms of self. And if self isn't somehow getting richer or more comfortable, then what's the point? But the point is that there's something far beyond self, something far more satisfying, something far more valuable than what self has to offer in its own efforts and its own preservation in this life. Trying to preserve self is one of the most futile but also painful and unpleasant experiences that exists. If you pick up a cross, in other words, you don't worry about self, you recognize that you're dead with Christ, you don't worry about being self-oriented, self-centered, and then self-pity, don't even go there. Don't let that enter into your thinking, and if it starts to enter into your thinking, just toss it as fast as you can, get rid of it. That's how you find things like happiness, joy, satisfaction, contentment, meaning, value, and, by the way, success, including in the world. Because if you have success with God, then you will have what you need to have success in the world. If you don't have success with God, then it's entirely up to you. But Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Nothing that you have done, thought, engaged in, whatever, that is seeking first the kingdom of God, none of it is without value. All of it is valuable, all of it is profitable, all of it will benefit you. And if you don't see the benefit immediately, rest assured, you certainly will. If you want a wife or a husband, seek first the kingdom of God. That's how you get it. If you want success in business, seek first the kingdom of God. No matter what profession you do, you don't have to be a businessman. If you want to be an army officer and you want to be successful at it, seek first the kingdom of God. For that matter, if you want to be a politician, and nowadays we don't have that many of them that do that, but we do have some, seek first the kingdom of God. Whatever it is you do, seek first the kingdom of God. It's that simple. That is the key to success. Seek first the kingdom of God. Just because the world says, well, I don't believe that, well, then you're deceived. You believe the wrong thing. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny, but apparently you do. Well, I believe we evolved. Oh, then you definitely believe in the Easter Bunny. I mean, come on. Everything in science, everything that is plain reality tells you this is impossible. Non-living things suddenly became alive. This is how the official explanation has it. Because we know for fact, it's been a proven biological law that only living things can lead to living things. In other words, a dog has puppies. Puppies don't just happen. They're saying that life just happened, even though it violates the laws of biology. That life happened, came about from non-living things. You know what the justification is? Happened only once, a long time ago, very quickly. And now it's justifiable. Long time ago, only once, very quickly. That's nonsense. It's actually beyond childish. It's nonsense. Seek first the kingdom of God. Whatever the word of God tells you is truth. Whatever God says is truth. Whatever God does is reality. Seek that first. Okay, now, God will give you the victory through Christ. How do you get the victory through Christ? Seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Whatever is not of faith is sin. God is not going to honor sin. That's Romans 14:23. If it's not faith, it's sin. Sin is removed by the blood out of time. 1 John 1:7, Psalm 103:12. And so, seek first the kingdom of God. You're not seeking sin. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. Now you have everything you need to have complete and total victory. God always will give you the victory. I don't care what's going on. God will give you the victory. I don't care who's involved. God will give you the victory. I don't care what the details are, what the circumstances are. God will give you the victory. Seek first the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God, He always gives you the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, the unbelieving world says we don't believe that. Never buy into what the unbelieving world says. God is active, God is real, God is extremely powerful and extremely effective. Let me give you an example, especially on the heels of what happened last night to President Trump. And President Trump came out with a statement this morning. This is not to be political, this is what he came out saying. He gave God the credit for his protection. Smart. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. If God protects you and you give God the credit for your protection, you're being smart. He gave God the credit for his protection. There was an army sniper that was interviewed on the news. He said, had he not turned his head just so, then the sniper would have succeeded. The shooter would have succeeded. Because then he would have hit him in the temple. And that would have been the end of him. But he turned his head just ever so slightly, and that gave enough room that the bullet whizzed past his head, although it hit his ear, but it didn't hit his temple. Just because he turned his head ever so slightly. You see how much in control God is of you? That even just a slight turn of the head, if that's what you need, that's what you'll get. And you don't think it has anything to do with God because you're the one turning your head. No, it has everything to do with God. He's the one causing you to want to turn your head. Don't underestimate God's ability and activity in your life. It's not philosophy, it's reality. It's not an idea, it's practical, real life. Touch it, hold it. Kind of stuff. Don't underestimate God's activity in your life. You are believers. You belong to God. Don't underestimate Him. God takes care of real world circumstances, real world problems, real world needs, real world affairs. God takes care of real world things. He's very involved, very interested. You belong to Him. He's interested in you. If it affects you, it affects Him. He's interested. Don't ever say to yourself, God's not interested. Don't ever say to yourself, this is not that big. This is not that important. You're talking about God. What is big or small when it comes to God? What is important and what is unimportant when it comes to God? God's interested in all of it. You say to yourself, perhaps, and this is normal, a lot of people do that, but it's not a great thought. It's actually a wrong thought. You say to yourself, well, I can handle this. I'll leave the big things to God. No, you really can't. You really can't. Doesn't a small turn of the head seem like a simple, little, tiny, puny, minuscule thing? Who would even think about it? And if that bullet didn't miss him as a result of it, nobody would have thought about it. But you know what God did? God caused him to turn his head just a slight bit so that the bullet wouldn't hit him. I remember a story, and I'm sure, Colonel, you've heard stories like this, or similar in nature anyway. Well, I know you have stories similar in nature. There was a soldier on a battlefield, and he was being shot at, and he was a believer. You can hear bullets when they're coming. And he said he knew by the sound of it that the bullets were heading right for him. And then the bullets went around him. One after another, bullets heading right for him, bullets going around him. The same happened with General Washington, and I'm sure a whole lot of people in combat, especially believers. General Washington, snipers from the British side got very frustrated. They just could not hit him. And they weren't bad snipers, they were excellent snipers, but God kept throwing their bullets off course. They just could not shoot him. They couldn't hit him. Their bullets would never get him. And it was so much so that one of the British officers said, well, our snipers are actually excellent. It's God's protecting this guy. Why? God gives you the victory. And I don't care if it's a victory against a gun. I don't care if it's a victory in business. I don't care if it's a victory in personal life, relationships, what have you. God always gives you the victory. Your victory is an already established reality. Just wait for it. It may take some time to get there, but wait for it. Well, you know what? We don't live in Chicago, but you know, Chicago is there, and if we decided we wanted to go to Chicago, we could, and we would have every right to expect that we would reach Chicago. Because we know Chicago is there. Now, if you've never been to Chicago, you're taking that on faith. But it's still there. It doesn't matter that you're taking it on faith. It's still there. God always gives you the victory. Always. Sometimes people say, well, what if I'm opposed by another Christian? What if you are? Where does that change anything? You know how God deals with Christians when they're opposed to each other? Sometimes that happens. It's unfortunate, but sometimes it does. God looks at the kingdoms that are being represented. You seek first the kingdom of God. You stay true to God. God gives you the victory, even against another Christian. Why? Because if that Christian is operating practically in Satan's kingdom, and sometimes that happens, it's unfortunate, but sometimes it happens. Then God will deal with that person according to the kingdom they align themselves with. The classic example, the perfect example in my opinion, is Balaam. Balaam was asked by the king of Midian to curse the Israelites. Balaam went to God, said, "Can I curse the Israelites?" God said, "No." So the king says, go again. See, maybe he'll change his mind tomorrow. Balaam goes again. Can I curse the Israelites? No. King says, try it one more time. He is thick as can be. And then finally God says, okay, fine. Just curse them though. Do whatever. Whatever you want. Just do it. I'm paraphrasing. Whatever you want. And it didn't go well for Balaam. In the end, Balaam was killed fighting against Israel with the Midianites. Dreadful situation. Now, God always causes you to triumph. Don't ever think of the situation as being bigger than you are. I don't care if it is. When Israel went into the promised land, they were facing giants. Now, Moses, years prior, had sent spies into the land. Spies came back, said, this place is awesome. There's only one big problem. There's giants in the land. And the more they told the story, the bigger the giants got. The smaller Israel got. Why? Because they were dwelling on the problem. They were dwelling on the obstacles. They were dwelling on the challenges rather than the God who causes them to overcome absolutely all of it. An obstacle doesn't exist when God is leading you down a certain path. It may appear to exist. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as an obstacle to the will of God. God is the one who makes everything happen. There's no such thing as an obstacle to the will of God. You don't even make it happen. You're along for the ride. You respond to Him, you obey Him, you trust Him. But really, He's the one who causes everything to happen. Now, a while back, I knew a pastor. He was a great pastor. And they had a church with a school. And they had very little money to work with. This is up in New England. And his assistant pastor, who was in charge of the church finances, came to him and said to him one day, "Today, the mortgage is up on the school. We have to get that money in by 4:30 to the bank. Except we don't have it." And so the tendency is to panic. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to lose our school. Oh, no. I love the pastor's response. He said to the assistant pastor, "Let's go fishing." What? Let's go fishing. Why did he do that? He knew that was not an obstacle. He said, if God wants us to have this school, He's the one who gave it to us. If He wants us to continue it, He'll bring in the money. It'll come in by 4:30. If He doesn't, then the money won't come in. We don't have anything to worry about. Why would we want what God doesn't want anyway? If He wants it, He'll make it happen. If He doesn't want it, He won't make it happen. It's that simple. And guys, really, it really is that simple. And so they spent the day fishing. They went back to church. It was late afternoon, and somebody comes in at 4 o'clock, says, "I have to give you my kid's tuition check." You know what the check was for? Exactly the amount of money they needed for that month's mortgage. So they went to the bank, got there at 4:30, and no problem. What happened? Real world circumstance. That type of a circumstance would make a lot of people nervous. But this pastor knew God is the one who causes things to happen. And I'm going to trust Him because He's the one who brought it about. It's His plan anyway. It's His church anyway. It's His school anyway. It's all His anyway. I don't have to worry about it. God is the one who makes things happen. You concern yourself with staying in the perfect will of God, and God will make everything that you need to happen. You don't have to make it happen yourself. God will make it happen. You respond to Him. 4 o'clock comes around and all of a sudden the exact amount of money is there, right? Smack on his desk, sitting there waiting for them. They didn't have to do a thing. They had a nice day fishing. You come into some serious problem, go fishing. You have a serious need and you know you're in the will of God, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. You can go fishing, you can go whatever. But don't sweat it. Don't be afraid. God says He supplies all your need. God says His promises are yea and amen. God's promises cannot lie. Sometimes people say to themselves, well, what if God doesn't come through? Well, that would be a historical first, wouldn't it? God can't lie. God's promises, therefore, can't lie. God is 100% absolutely, without a question, without a shadow of a doubt, absolutely reliable. You can trust Him. You can rely on Him. You know He's for you. You know He's going to take care of you. He said He would. The evidence you need is that God said it. Once you know God said it, you can trust it. The evidence you need is, did God say it? And if you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You belong to God anyway. You're not your own. You belong to God. That's the one of the things that we as believers, we have to really remember that our lives are not our own. We are the property of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we are the Holy Spirit's concern. Holy Spirit is fully God, just like Jesus and just like the Father. The three are actually one person in three different expressions. You belong to Him. You are His property. He owns you. So you are His responsibility. Everything about your life is His responsibility. Taking care of you is His responsibility. Protecting you is His responsibility. Your responsibility is to trust Him. Respond to Him, trust Him, obey Him. Get to know His love. Receive His word. That's your part. He does everything else. He's always going to give you the victory because He'll never stop being God. He's always going to love you because He'll never stop being God. He's always going to be faithful because He'll never stop being God. What's your key? What's the key to your victory? What's the key to continuing? By the way, never quit. The only way to lose with God is quit. You quit on God, you will lose. Don't quit on God, it's impossible to lose. What's the key to your victory? Seek first the kingdom of God. That's it. It's not hard. It's better than seeking the world. Because the world won't help you. A lot of people do succeed in the world, but the world is not helping them succeed. They just manage to figure it out. And more power to them. I'm not against them doing that. How much better to succeed with God, who will give you all forms of success, whether it's with Him or in the world. And He'll give it to you in the exact right measure so that your ultimate success will last forever, for eternity. So that in heaven, you're a success also. In this world, hopefully you will be here for a long, long time, unless the rapture happens first. But hopefully you will be here for a long, long time, but doesn't matter how long you're going to be here, eventually it will end. You want your success to be in heaven first. Because that lasts forever. This, under the best of circumstances, maybe another 80, 90 years for you guys who are young. That's going to pass. But heaven will never pass. That's forever. That's why you want to seek first the kingdom of God, because you're seeking things that are eternal that can also give you great success in time. There's your victory right there. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."